Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message. See you at church.
I was wondering if you could enlighten me a little bit this morning. And indulge me in letting me go back to Christmas a little bit. I did say last time I really like Christmas, so I think it's only fair that I get to hang on Christmas a little bit more. Sorry? No carols, and I won't do any singing, Doug. You can relax. Naomi and I have a little bit of a tradition every year. We watch a movie that's called It's a Wonderful Life. It's a 1946 movie, a bit of a classic, and I think ever since, it just feels like ever since we've been married, it's a movie that we watch. Is anyone here familiar with this movie? I've got a couple of people, fantastic, sort of. It's a beautiful movie. It's very old, so you have to... but what I like about it is it relies on story. If there's one thing that I sometimes struggle with modern movies is I feel like sometimes I just want more out of this character and more out of the story, and I just want them to develop everything a little bit more. And I think some of the traditional movies, dare I say, they can tell a really good story. It's a made-up story based off a shorter story, but it was released in 1946, and it's about... The story begins on Christmas Eve in a small town upstate from New York called Bedford Falls. And it starts off, and this is a bit that you know that it's definitely made up. It starts off with in heaven with angels discussing the plight of George Bailey, who's a pillar of the town community, who's thinking about suicide. So they decide to assign a second-tier angel, Clarence. And for those that... thinking about this, may be starting to ring some bells now. And in order to help him not lose hope. And so they go through this journey and they rewind back into George's life and kicks off with him saving his little brother. For those that remember the movie, his brother goes down a bobsled and falls into the frozen water, and his brother saves him and in the process damages his ear. It then goes on to show a scene where he's at a pharmacist and he's helping the pharmacist who's just had some terrible news and makes a mistake and accidentally puts poison in one of the pills. And again, George saves the day. Again, a little bit of pain, he gets hit, but he saves the day. And then George has this desire, this dream to travel. That's his lifelong dream. Ever since he was a boy, ever since he was working, he wanted to get himself a suitcase so he could travel. And the day before he sets out on his journey, George's father dies. And when he dies, Potter, who's the richest man in the town, who's the evil character in this movie, tries to take over and shut down his dad's bank. But they all agree that the bank can stay open if George doesn't travel and stays and look after this bank. So that's what he does. He sacrifices his travel and stays and looks after this bank, waiting for his brother to come back and take over. His brother comes back, but ends up getting married and getting a job elsewhere in a town and can't hand over the bank, and again, some misfortune, so he has to cancel his journey, travels again. And then if I fast forward, this happens back and forth a few times where it's his honeymoon and he's ready to go out traveling again, and there's a crisis in the bank and he ends up giving all his honeymoon money out to save the bank again. And again, it's just like one thing after another. Like, you start feeling sorry for this guy. There's one thing after another. And then the final straw is at the close of business on Christmas Eve, his uncle's supposed to take $8,000. Now, granted, this is back in 1946, so use your imagination, a lot of money. Accidentally puts the money in a newspaper and basically hands it to Mr. Potter. And Mr. Potter, being the bad character, sees this as a great opportunity to put the nail in the coffin and finally shut them down. Through this, George has built a family. He's got kids, built a loving life with a loving wife. But through it all, he's had to make sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. Then it gets to this point of the movie where he's ready to commit suicide, jump off a bridge, and then who comes to save the day? Good old Clarence, who's a bit of a funny character in this movie. If you haven't watched it, you should really watch it. It's a bit of a classic. And I think it's a beautiful movie because I can relate to that in life. And I think if you watch the movie, I'd like to think you're probably going to be able to relate to that movie in life. I think about there's things that I've wanted to do, dreams and ambitions, or things that I want to be able to achieve, but just through life, things not going my way, it hasn't quite happened the way that I thought it was going to happen. And I love the movie because it is based around Christmas. It's a very much a Christmas movie, and Christmas is probably the time of the year in a society where we have so much excess. Excess gets even more. It kind of goes over the top. We get so much stuff in around Christmas. And I love this movie because it's got this picture of George who gets so much injustice in his life. But then all of a sudden, there's this switch towards the end of the movie where he feels like all this injustice has happened, and there's this an amazing amount of thankfulness of, wow, I actually have so much. I thought I had so little, and all of a sudden his perspective changed as Clarence showed him through the journey of his life. It takes through this flashback of what the world would have been like without George. And he gets a glimpse of if all this pain that didn't happen to him, what would have actually meant for his town, what it would have meant for the people around him. It's a really beautiful picture. And I can really feel like we can relate to that as all individuals. It takes no genius to work out that I probably sitting in a room of people, because we live in a broken world, that have had their fair share of injustice and their fair share of pain and their fair share of hurt. And as a society, I feel like we try to cover that up with excess, chasing for that trip of a lifetime around the world like George wanted to do, or trying to get that job with that certain amount of something, or get the biggest house possible. I mean, Australians over the last 60 years have had homes that have over doubled in size. If I go back to 1950, the average house, close to when this movie was made, was 100 square metres. Today, the average house in Australia is 240 square metres. And the average number of people living in those homes has been declining dramatically as well. It's amazing the excess we live in. I think about the continual discontentment we have in society. Cars are growing bigger. We're getting American cars, like bigger utes, bigger four-wheel drives. It's just, they're all growing. Phones are getting more advanced. Their own little computers in their own right. And on top of that, some people want to have more than one. They've got to have the latest when it comes out. Internet's getting faster, and if it glitches for a couple of seconds, the patience isn't there. We have better cars, better air conditioning than ever before. We have more things at our fingertips than ever before. But nevertheless, as society, we're still not content with what we have. We used to try to keep up with the neighbors, you know, try to keep up with the Smiths, if you remember the Joneses. Thank you for the correction, Lynn, again. Keep up with the Joneses. See, this is before my time. Whereas now, used to be trying to keep up with the magazines, but it's even gone further, where it's now trying to keep up with whether it's a TV show, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and these perfect lives are portrayed. It's glamorous. They've got everything together. And for those that have heard me preach before, I refer to the Dodge Nitro syndrome. I remember when I was driving this big flash four-wheel drive with my 20-inch rims, feeling pretty good about myself, driving it, thinking I'm looking pretty good, but deep down inside, I was hurting and crying about the expenses of this stupid car and how much it cost me. And I kind of feel like that a little bit as well for us as society, you know. We put on these brave faces. To our friends, we put together this, we've got it all together. But really, deep down inside, we don't. See, I don't stand here today as a perfect individual. In fact, far from it. I am just like you, where I'm going on my own journey. I go through my own trials. I had one about 30 minutes ago, which is like, give me a bit of a sixer before getting up and preaching. But nevertheless, we've all got these faces and there's this pain sitting behind people. And George in this movie is a great example of that. We want to put on this face, this style, dress like people, look a certain way, have the same things as them. In fact, you can make money off being an influencer on social media. I mean, it's quite amazing, really, that you can make money by just showing somebody that you use a certain product. And it's just because of our innate desire to want to be like someone else. We can't accept ourselves for what we have. We've got to chase after that something else. We need that latest gadget. That new top, new pair of jeans. Stop buying dresses online, Dana. Doug paid me to say that. New shoes, the new hairstyle, a new look. We always need that something new. If I think about right now with the bushfires, it's like the last person we want to look at is ourselves and our own faults. That, in fact, what we do is we want to try find whose fault is it? We need to point the finger at somebody and get some type of blame. In fact, but if we just took some time to look at ourselves and what we're actually doing to help the situation, most of us, other than possibly giving some money, haven't done a great deal. But nevertheless, we can be incredibly vocal. We can be uncontent with what's happening politically. We can be uncontent with what's happening with our partner, our children, our friends. Our house, our small house, it might be too old, might need renovating. It might be that we've got an old 4G phone instead of a 5G phone or a 3G. Or I don't know if that was 2G. I can't even remember. Maybe it's our TV's too small. Maybe we need that 65-inch instead of the 55-inch to make ourselves happy, which has always amazed me, the fact we even refer to inches in Australia. Go figure. We always need someone to blame for something, or we need that something else. And George Bailey in this movie was the same. He desperately wanted to go traveling. He had dreams and aspirations of what he wanted to do, and we live in a society that tells you, dream big. You can do anything you want to do. But can you really? Can you actually do whatever it is you want to do? Is it possible to be content in a world that's incredibly restless? Is it possible to be happy in a world that's broken? This morning, the title of my message is It's a Wonderful Life, because I truly believe that if you live in God's will for your life, you can have a wonderful life. Not a perfect life, but a wonderful life. So how can we do that? How can we have a wonderful life? Firstly, if there's one thing I've learned and one thing I read in the Bible, is if you want to have a good life, first of all, live in God's will that He has for you. If you're in this building this morning, which I'm talking to all of you, so that's a good start, podcast people probably not, but you know what? I actually believe you're here, you being here is no accident. I actually think you walking into this building is in the will for of God's will for your life. It is easy to walk in God's will. We live in a world where we're told everything is possible. You can do whatever you want. But the problem is, if that's not God's will for your life, you're probably going to be incredibly miserable. I was working this week and I with a gentleman, a customer of mine, and he was talking with me, and he was a Christian. We got talking, and I was talking about how I was praying for someone to come in to buy something today, and he goes, well, so that's good, but Scott, just make sure that if someone comes in and you're praying for them to buy something, that you're praying that it's God's will, though, for their life. Because if it's not God's will, well, then there's no point selling them a bike. And I go, do you know what? Isn't that true? I mean, it is all about being in God's will. So yeah, our friend George in the movie wanted a different life. He wanted to travel. He wanted to experience things. And through life, he was served in his mind what was a whole bunch of injustice. But what he realized, once he looked back, the difference of that he had been in his life from doing all the things that he had done, that he had been in God's will for his life all along. Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything be prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, minds, through Christ Jesus. Have thanksgiving for everything. 1 John 5:14 says, now this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. It's so funny. I remember as a teenager, all I heard was, is if we ask anything according, we will get what we want. How many of us read that scripture with that in mind? Right? No, it says if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Do you know, my prayer has become more about, God, help me pray the right things. Help me live in Your will. Help me want the things that I need, and help me pray for the things I need and not the things that I don't need. I'm absolutely praying that this business I'm invested into is going to be successful for myself. But at the same time, I've said the prayer, Lord, if it's not supposed to be and it's not right and I've got to walk through a journey that I don't want to walk through, if it's Your will, Lord, I'm prepared to walk it. That's a scary thing to pray. But ultimately, I've got to be in God's will. Proverbs 3:6 says, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. If you go through life just acknowledging God and going, God, help me take the right step. Which direction's right for you? I can tell you now, you're going to do a much better chance of living in God's will for your life. Another thing we can do in living in God's will is being thankful for what it is we're going through. Because if we're angry at what we're going through, we're kind of denying God's will for our life, dare I say it. The financial situation He's put us in, the things that He's given us. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances. Does it say give thanks in just the good circumstances? No, it says give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. So this morning, I wanted to talk about having that wonderful life. And one of the things I think is really important to be having a wonderful life is to be thankful. To be thankful in everything. If I think there's one thing about Christmas that I love, it's that. It's that time of the year where people start to appreciate things and be more thankful. Paul wrote in Colossians 3:15 to be thankful. We should always be thankful. And that's a great start to a wonderful life. All right. So what can we be thankful for? I spoke about material things, but you know what? I think you can be thankful for the blessings God has given you. We never seem to be satisfied with what we have, whether we're rich or poor, healthy or sick, whether we have a big house or small house, whether you have the latest phone or not, latest computer or not, latest car or not, whether you have a car or don't have a car, whether you have a job or don't have a car job, we're not happy and consistent. We always want more. But I think one of the first things to being, the first thing to accepting that life that we've got and being in God's will is to being thankful for what God has given us. 1 Chronicles 29, 12-14 says, "Wealth and honor come from you. We give thanks and praise your glorious name." Everything comes from you. Philippians 4, 11-13 says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content, and I know how to be abased and how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things I learned both to be full and to be hungry, to be abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." It's so funny. I know that part of the scripture, the last bit. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But it's actually referring to the fact that, you know what, no matter your situation in life, whether it's good or whether it's bad, we can get through it with Christ and be thankful and content with what it is we have. Are you content this morning with the material blessings that God has given you? Or are you unhappy with what it is and you're asking for more? Are you preoccupied wanting more opposed to actually looking at what it is God's already blessed you with? Another thing we can be thankful for. We can be thankful for the people that God's put in your life. I think, good to see a little bit of that going on down there already, Caleb. You can be so thankful, you can be so caught up with being angry at people and angry at those that are doing injustice to you that you forget to be thankful for what it is God's already given you, the people He's already put in your life. It's so easy to take people for granted. Or even, it's easy to complain about people. It's easy to be angry at people because they don't fulfill us in the way we want them to. But we need to give thanks to those around us, our partners, our children, relatives, friends, or you guys here today. We need to be thankful for each other. The truth is, if you start looking for faults, I can guarantee you're going to find many in me. If you start looking for faults in each other, you're probably going to find many faults in each other. There's so many because we're born into a broken world. But instead of focusing on the faults, focus on the Creator that made the person. Focus on Christ in me, Christ in you, and be thankful for God putting them in your life. 1 Corinthians 1-4, we see where Paul, writing to the Christians of Corinth, says, "I thank God for you." And when a group of believers whom Paul had never met came out to greet him as approached Rome, we read that at the sight of these men, Paul thanked God and was encouraged by them coming out. It's important to thank those people around you and those people that touch your life. I've missed one. That's right. Be thankful in, the next one is to be thankful in difficult things we go through. To me, that's the hard one. Because we all go through difficult things, but how often do we actually thank God for the situation we're in? I remember when my son Samuel crushed his finger. I remember driving to the hospital and just giving thanks to God. Saying, God, I thank you for my son. Right now, I could be focused on the fact that his finger's crushed and he's going to need an operation and the bones are all smashed up. But instead, I decided at that point of angst, pain, questions, just to trust God and be thankful for everything he's given me and thankful that he was in control of the situation. Life is not perfect. We live in a broken world. We have bushfires ripping through Australia. We're in a drought. People here going through sickness and life-threatening sickness. I'm aware of relationships that are fractured. And they're sometimes because other people have made a bad decision against them. Life is just sometimes unfair. But if there's one thing I'd encourage you this morning is to be thankful to God in these situations. I think about Joseph in the Bible. Where he was being thrown into a pit. And then he's thrown into a jail. And nevertheless, he kept the right attitude through the whole situation. In the midst of trials, we can thank God because we know that he has promised to be with us and that he will help us. We know that he can use times of suffering to draw us closer to himself. James 1, 2-3 says, consider a pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. That's a hard scripture. It's a hard scripture. But we can be thankful to God. Romans 8:28, we know, says that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Do you know what? There's things in life that don't make sense. And I'm never going to understand it until I get to heaven. Because there's some things that are absolute just conflicts with me and why they even happen. But nevertheless, we know that God's going to work it all for good. In the situation of the wonderful life with George, again, he's going through all these problems, these things that are injustice to him and his dreams, but God used it all to work for his good, his purpose. Now, granted, a movie. And we need to be thankful to God for our salvation in Jesus. Do you know, the sufferings of this world are going to seem so insignificant when we get to heaven. Do you know, the worst thing that can happen to us here on this earth is death. And for us, death is an eternal future with Jesus Christ because of that sacrifice he made. We live in a broken world and we've all fallen short and we've all sinned. Without Christ, we are just like everyone else. But through Christ, we have salvation. And that salvation is a free gift. And that's the most amazing thing about it. And for me, continually blows my mind away that I actually don't need to do anything to be forgiven. It is through Christ. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's all we need to do is confess and we will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confesses is made unto salvation. And of course we know John 3:16, where it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. To me right there, salvation is the greatest healing we could ever have. Yes, we pray for sicknesses to be healed. We pray for things to, the injustice to stop, and we pray for things to go correct. But ultimately, we've all had a miracle in our lives, bigger than we could ever imagine. And that is that salvation, that a guy that grew up making mistakes, that used to struggle with pornography, that is imperfect, that I can even stand here today and share is phenomenal. Likewise, I know you're all the same. Like, salvation is something amazing, amazingly amazing to be thankful for. It's the greatest healing we will ever experience in our life, is that healing we receive through Jesus. And another thing we can be thankful for is the fact that His continued presence and power through the Holy Spirit is in our life. That from that point of salvation, we don't have to do it on our own. That the Holy Spirit is there to help us walk in that will, to walk in the right direction towards Christ. When we come to Christ, it's not the end, but the beginning of a whole new life. He is with us, and He wants to help us follow Him and His word. In ourselves, we don't have enough strength. I've tried it on my own so many times. I know I don't have the strength. I need to rely on Christ. Philippians 2:13 says, "It's God who works in us to will and to act according to His purpose." Ephesians 5:20 says, "Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." And that's because it is our Lord Jesus Christ that does everything for us. This morning, I think it's in the everything that goes on in the world, it's so easy to get caught up in all the negative. It's so easy to get caught up with the problems of your partner, or the imperfections of a friend, or with a work colleague that you work with, but actually just going, do you know what? God has brought this person in my life. He's put me in this job for this season. He's doing something, the reason why I'm here, and I just need to trust God. There's something I need to learn, or there's a person I need to touch. And so through that, we know we're in God's will. And to get through that, we need the Holy Spirit. So this morning, as we focus on 2020, the catchphrase of 2020 has been thrown around for 2020 vision. And I think we can sometimes get so caught up in the bad, but if we're going to have 2020 vision, we need to also then think about everything God's actually doing in our lives, all the wonderful things. Because I think at that point, life doesn't change. But all of a sudden, we start to see where God is in the story. We start to see where He is and why He's doing what He's doing. And I believe through that, we can have a wonderful life. This morning, I'd like to do something a little bit different to close today. I thought it'd be really nice as we think about a wonderful life. We think about the fact that we want to live in Christ's will He has for our life. We want to acknowledge Him in everything. I thought it'd be really nice to show thanks to Jesus, to thanks to God. And so what I'd like to do is to open the service up, and just from where you're sitting, just give people an opportunity. You can say it in your heart, say it in your mind, or just even to verbally say something that you're thankful for. And just to acknowledge Christ in the situation. It may be something personal. It may be something tricky. It may be something easy, but I thought it'd be nice as a church body to start the year being thankful to Christ.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church, or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.